This is an iHeart podcast.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Whatever team Fee is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is. The Jesse Kelly Show, another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a Thursday. The weekend is almost here. You can smell it. We're going to talk a little bit about Mitch McConnell and his motivation this hour. About a half hour from now, we have Buck Sexton coming on the show. We have a bet. We're going to talk about that bet when it comes to Joe Biden. Talk about ICE. We're being threatened by the White House. No, not the cold kind of ICE. The ICE that's in charge of deporting people. We have a ton to get to tonight on the world famous Jesse Kelly Show. Before we do any of that, I want to do something super important. You know, I have these little tricks I do. One of my basic life tricks is whenever I travel, airline travel or anything like that, I always bring a book, even if I'm not reading it. Why? When you carry around a book, people think you're smart. You don't even have to crack it. Don't worry about that. Look, if you have to crack it, just put your phone in your book and browse your phone. No one will know. They'll think you're sitting there reading. That's one of my life hacks. Here's another one. I'll find good words, and then I'll try to figure out how to use them, and then I'll start using bigger words, and this makes people think you're smart. I had a meeting today, one of those Zoom meetings with the suits at iHeart. Don't worry. It was all good. Believe it or not, I'm not in trouble. It was all good. But one of them used the word copacetic. It's really copacetic. That's such a great word. And so I'm going to start using that word a lot. I might use it or not a lot tonight on the show. What, Chris? What does copacetic mean? Chris, don't worry about that. All right. What it means is important. You'll know when I use it in the sentence that I used it correctly is all I have to say. All right. It'll all be copacetic, if you will, Chris. What, Chris? I'm telling you, just do what I do and let me lead. All right? Let's get to some emails here. Dear customer service slayer, can you give any background or detail on how these powerful young communist staffers are for people like Mitch McConnell? Mitch is clearly stroking out, but don't his staffers lose a lot of power if he retires? Are they making decisions and policy with him in his current state? Not to say he hasn't been selling out his country his entire career. Okay, and so this is from Rick. All right, I want to talk about this really quickly. I want to talk about McConnell. We talked a little bit about him last night. And let's talk about kind of how the power structure of D.C. works, because this will translate beyond McConnell. One, we know today that Mitch McConnell played a bigger and bigger role in this border amnesty scam than we even thought before. We always knew he was involved. You knew, I knew, we talked about it on the show. But today, I mean, this is from Washington Examiner. Mitch McConnell played a bigger part in failed border plan than anyone knew. Quote, he wrote the deal. That was according to another United States senator, that piece of trash Murphy from Connecticut. Murphy came out and said Mitch McConnell wrote the deal. Mitch McConnell put together an amnesty slash Ukraine funding deal. Why? Well, one, we'll ask Buck about the Ukraine portion of that here in a few. Mitch McConnell's really bizarrely committed to there. But two, do you remember Roe versus Wade got overturned? Just stay with me here. Stay with me. Roe versus Wade got overturned, and obviously abortion became a hot issue. And while I'm never going to adjust my pro-life stance, it is an issue that did hurt Republicans. Why? Because single women in America are so rotted that they love to murder their babies. Not all of them, honestly, obviously, but 70%, according to the numbers, of single women love baby murder. They love it. We have so destroyed women, we've turned them into demons, and they all think that they should just be able to murder their baby whenever they feel like it. And it did cost Republicans seats. I'm not naive to that. I don't care, because that's a more important issue than a House seat, but it did cost Republicans seats. Do you remember what Lindsey Graham did during all this? Now, keep in mind, we knew that this was an issue that was going to hurt us at the ballot box. You remember what Lindsey Graham did? Lindsey Graham came out and he proposed a national abortion ban, a piece of federal legislation banning abortion nationwide. Now, on the surface, to someone like me, to someone who's as hardcore pro-life as I am, on the surface, that looks great at first, right? Yeah, that's cool. Ban it. Stop it all. But then you start to consider the timing and the source of all this. Let me ask you something. You're here listening to the Jesse Kelly Show on a Thursday night or Friday morning, whenever you listen. You follow politics. You're informed. You know about the issues, that this and that. I mean, none of us are an expert on everything, but you certainly know the who's who and what's what. How many times have you heard Lindsey Graham rail on abortion? Ever? Have you ever once heard Lindsey Graham take a hard stance on that issue? Propose a big amendment, a big bill, go on TV. It's on TV every 15 minutes. Go on TV and talk about it. Have you ever once in your life remembered or heard Lindsey Graham? Do you ever remember him being an advocate for pro-life causes? You don't. Because I don't. I know you don't. Now, I'm not saying he's never said anything. Obviously, you can probably dig up an article here, article there, but he's never been some loud pro-lifer. So what? Why would Lindsey Graham, before the midterms, propose something that had no chance to pass, something he's not very passionate about? What did he get out of that? Well, you can argue, and you'll never know unless you can hook someone up to a lie detector test, you can argue that what Lindsey Graham got out of that is he gets to be in the minority in the Senate, where the GOP prefers to be. The GOP lacks the stones to govern. They don't want to govern. They don't want to be in the majority. They want to be the whiny minority, never responsible for anything, always just complaining about hypocrisy or doing the good old-fashioned, can you imagine if we did that? They don't ever want to actually do anything that you want them to do. They want to campaign as if they will. We'll repeal Obamacare. Oh, yeah, that's a good point, Chris. Remember the 87,000 IRS agents? We're going to defund those. And then we gave them back the house. They didn't even try. They didn't even make a serious effort at it. Oh, defund those? Oh, do we say that? Anyway, we can't. Maybe after next election, guys. I think Lindsey Graham did it on purpose so he could stay in the minority in the Senate. And that brings me back to this Mitch McConnell thing. Why in the world would Mitch McConnell run cover for Democrats? Remember this. Remember, the border, immigration, it is killing Democrats politically in this country. It is something that American after American is upset about. Even Democrat strongholds like urban black communities are enraged with the number of illegals coming into this country. This is something that is killing
the Democrats' chances in 2024. There's nothing that could save them unless someone came up with a bill that sucked and wasn't going to pass, but called it a border bill. Then Democrats could run to the television and do exactly what Joe Biden, Chris Murphy, all of them have been doing since that border bill failed. You notice the Democrats, the communists, they turned on a dime and they immediately started laying the border at Republican feet. Hey, we tried to secure the border. The GOP won't. This is the GOP. Remember what Joe Biden said? I think we played it for you yesterday. I think he blamed Trump. He did blame Trump. Chris, do we have that cut? It was from yesterday or the day before. Biden gets up and he starts talking at a press conference after a naked amnesty bill fails. And what did he say? Now, this is the fault of Donald Trump and Donald Trump only. Only Trump is at fault for the border being open. And remember this, Mitch McConnell, for all the other things you may like or dislike about him, it's probably mostly dislike. He is a famously grudge-holding person. Mitch McConnell hates Donald Trump, and the feeling is mutual the other way. Why would Mitch McConnell give Joe Biden the ammo to get up and say this?
All indications are this bill won't even move forward to the Senate floor. Why? A simple reason. Donald Trump. Because Donald Trump thinks it's bad for him politically. Therefore, he doesn't, even though it helps the country, he's not for it. He'd rather weaponize this issue than actually solve it.
Yep. Mitch McConnell, I believe, I'll never get confirmation on this, knew this thing was going to fail. He picked his most naive, most low-T, useless senator, that would be James Lankford, to be the face of the whole thing. And he put this whole thing together and wrote the bill so Democrats could win in 2024 and Trump could lose. That's my theory. Chris, am I crazy? It's just a theory. I don't have inside sources on that. That's my theory. Oh, yeah, that's right, Michael. And they blamed me. Of course, it's Trump's fault and my fault. I don't know how you got that. I do a radio show. All of a sudden, it's my fault. Anyway, this is look, as long as we bring up James Lankford, I want you to listen to this. Listen to how whiny and embarrassing
this is.
Some
of them may have policy differences. Some of them have been very clear with me. They have political differences with the bill. They say it's the wrong time to solve the problem. Or let the presidential election solve this problem. In fact, I had a popular commentator 4 weeks ago that I talked to that told me flat out, before they knew any of the contents of the bill, any of the content, nothing was out at that point, that told me flat out, if you try to move a bill that solves the border crisis during this presidential year, I will do whatever I can to destroy you.
Fellas, when's the last time you got your T-levels checked? Listen, the way T-levels are dropping in this country, we are all in danger of becoming Lankfords. Do you want to be a Lankford? I couldn't imagine. That's a fate worse than death, to have your T-levels drop to Lankford levels. We keep drinking estrogen in the water. We need male vitality stacks to avoid ourselves becoming Lankfords. Start taking a male vitality stack. It is the anti-Lankford stack. 20% increase in your T levels in 90 days. CHOQ.com, promo code Jesse. Don't be a Lankford.
Feeling a little stocky? Follow, like, and subscribe on social at Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Thursday. Having some difficulty getting to everything today because there's so much I want to get to. We still have Buck Sexton coming up about 10 minutes from now. We have an hour and a half, 2 hours left, and there's a lot to get to. I do want to get to this. I didn't really talk about it earlier, but the oral arguments were heard today in the Supreme Court for Trump's name remaining on the ballot. You should know, It went really well. It went really well, as Josh Hammer came on the show and predicted it. It looks like Donald Trump's name is going to remain on the ballot in every state. No state's going to try it after this one gets shot down. Even Elena Kagan, that dirty commie, even she was on our side today.
No, there has to be some process for determining those questions. And then the question becomes, does anything in the 14th Amendment say that only Congress can create that process? And Section 5 very clearly is not an exclusive provision. It says Congress shall have power.
But maybe put most boldly, I think that the question that you have to confront is why a single state should decide who gets to be president of the United States.
Wow. Didn't see that one come. So that one went well. By every legal expert I talked to, looks like we're good there. It's not all good news from the Supreme Court. Remember, this is not the last time the Supreme Court's going to be hearing a Trump case. We are very likely going to need them to bail him out at some point in time. Well, Ketanji Brown Jackson, this was her from today. She does not sound like a woman predisposed to let him off the hook in every case.
We never accepted or conceded in our opening brief that this was an insurrection. What we said in our opening brief was President Trump did not engage in any act that can plausibly be characterized as insurrection.
All right, so why would this not be an insurrection? What is your argument that it's not? Your reply brief says that it wasn't because, I think you say, it did not involve an organized attempt to overthrow the government.
So that's one of many reasons. But for an insurrection, there needs to be an organized, concerted effort to overthrow the government of the United States through violence. And this
riot, the point is that a chaotic effort to overthrow the government is not an insurrection?
No, we didn't concede that it's an effort to overthrow the government either, Justice Jackson, right? None of these criteria were met. This was a riot. It was not an insurrection. The events were shameful, criminal, violent, all of those things, but it did not qualify as insurrection as that term is used in Section 3.
Thank you.
Because
doesn't sound like a woman who's going to be on our side. Now, the question is, how many of the other dirty commies on the Supreme Court are going to go along with her? I don't know. I don't have the answer to that. That's look, we've had some good news when it comes to Trump's legal problems. We have. Fani Willis in Georgia getting herself in serious trouble for her scandal and use of taxpayer money. That was a big, big benefit to us. We needed that. We were in deep trouble there. That was one of the main ones that had me worried they were going to send her to prison before the election. I don't even know if that trial is going to go off now because of how corrupt she is. That's good, right? Trump's name staying on the ballot is good. These are good things. We have a lot of things to navigate still, but these are good things. All right? Let's get to some emails. Jesse, you made a really good point on Wednesday about how companies don't take conservatives seriously because conservatives aren't willing to boycott a company for longer than a few months at best. Here's an idea for your consideration. Challenge everyone in your audience to change one company they buy from this year. We need to stop funding companies that are our enemies and want to destroy us. The obvious one is Pure Talk, which is fine, but it should really be more broad than that. People can choose whatever company they want to stop funding. Just do the research and make the switch. I really like this idea, actually. Look, if you want to know if your company's bad, if the company you patronize is bad, and we all, myself included, have companies we patronize that are bad. In some ways, we don't know. In some ways, you're trapped. But go find out if your company has a DEI page or an ESG page. The thing about DEI and ESG, the thing about how kind of broken we are here in the country is they're not shy about it. They brag about it. They will have special websites up dedicated to bragging about how, yeah, man, ain't no white men in this company. Ha, ha, ha. Oh, ESG? Yeah. No, we're totally all about genociding a bunch of people for the sake of the SEALs or something. They brag about that stuff. Pick a company that you patronize and go look and see if they have one. And if they do, try to switch. Try to change it. Look, like you said, I'll tell you this. I bring this up all the time about Pure Talk being an easy way to do that. The reason I say that is a lot of these switches really are difficult. They create real inconvenience and they're difficult. But our cell phones, we pay them automatically every month. Everyone does now. I know you do. Everyone has, most people have a credit card number that they've given to their cell phone company. The money's automatically taken out. So you get your cell phone, you get your plan, and you never think about it again. Well, when you think about that, we're making automatic payments every month to communists? Ugh. And to stop doing that, we have to just take 10 minutes on the phone with someone at Pure Talk, someone who understands English and speaks it well, because Pure Talk hires Americans. It's the easiest way to put your money where your morals are. There are a lot of difficult ways. Your cell service is not one of them. Pick up your phone and dial #250 and say Jesse Kelly. Stop agonizing over it. Switch to Pure Talk. #250, say Jesse Kelly. All right. Buck Sexton, who obviously used to sit in this chair in this time slot, Buck and I have a bet. We do this from time to time. I'm not a big gambler, I'll be honest with you. I don't want to sound too much like Chris, but when I lose money, even $10, it stresses me out. I don't like that. So I'm not a big gambler, but Buck and I have a steak dinner bet. I don't know if I'd call it a gentleman's bet, Chris. It's a steak dinner. I owe him a steak dinner. Now, I didn't specify where. I hope Buck is a fan of Outback, but that's not my problem. We have a steak dinner bet about Joe Biden and whether or not he's going to be the nominee. Let's talk to Buck about that and other things. Next. What, Chris? We can make jokes. It's fine.
You got that right. The Jesse Kelly Show.
Hey there. I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
Would you guys consider anything less than the championship to be a failure from this year?
I wouldn't say anything is a failure, especially because we all grow every day. Obviously, the goal is a championship. There's no doubt in that, and that's the goal. We want to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
For all the biggest stories in women's basketball, plus exclusive interviews with the game's brightest stars.
So to be here, I think it's one that we definitely don't take for granted. But we also know, you know, that's just one stop along the way, and we're hoping to, you know, make a run.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Thursday night. I hate how cool that song is that Buck just picked for himself because, Chris, that's a great song. You're such a child. It's because you're 12 years old. You don't show any appreciation for Return of the Mac. But as everyone knows, this time slot belonged to the great Buck Sexton, my friend. Part of the reason I'm sitting here is because of him, and he joins me. Now, Buck, refresh my memory again. What was our bet about Joe Biden not being the Democrat nominee? Because I'm looking at this special counsel stuff from today. He doesn't know who he is, where he is, doesn't even remember when his son died. This looks like someone being pushed out to me, Buck.
Okay, so you and Clay are both on team There's Some Scheme to replace Joe Biden, and that the Democrats, remember, this would mean that all the lawfare stuff, all their focus was some kind of distraction technique from what was really going on, which was the behind the scenes. Look, I've maintained all along it is Joe or Kamala. I haven't said, because obviously you could have Joe Biden, the dude walks around and you're worried he's going to fall down at any moment. He doesn't know what time it is. He could have, God forbid, you know, a stroke or something, you know, a heart attack. I mean, the guy's really, really old. He's past average life expectancy in the United States. But then it's Kamala Harris. The bet that I have with you and Clay and all these people who haven't learned the lesson, and the lesson, Jesse, is always bet on Buck, or if you want, it's Return of the Mac was the song you played. It should be Return of the Buck. But the bet we have is that there's someone other than Joe or Kamala who's going to be on the top of that ticket. And for you guys who have this theory, I just got to, and I get all the emails, how do you not see this? No, I see it. Jesse, they can't even get someone else on the ballots in these states. So how are you going to have a different candidate? You're going to run these two all the way through to, you know, the summer or whatever it is, and then you're going to just say all that money we spent, all those ad buys, everything, it was all kind of a big psych moment? No way. No way.
Buck, I think you're forgetting how dirty and devious these people can be right out in the open. Remember the last primary when Joe Biden was running in it? Bernie Sanders was boat racing him and everyone else. And then just magically over 48 hours, the Democrats stepped in like the dirty commies they are, ran everyone out of the race, forced them all to endorse Biden, primary over. They do this stuff all the time.
Look, if there was a way for them, that's not that, you know, what you laid out there, yes, it was dirty commie nonsense, although it's kind of funny because they actually stopped the true commie, Bernie, from being their nominee, but, you know, the point still stands. What they did there, you could have sketched that out on a napkin, and anyone would say, yeah, I guess that's possible, that's plausible, it makes sense. The third option here, and understand this, when I say that it could be Joe or Kamala, I know how horrible Kamala is. Jesse, your audience knows you are a Kamala Harris expert. You really should be her unofficial biographer at this point. You've spent a lot of time understanding the ins and outs of her career. Mm-hmm. And I would just say this. she's hopeful, or rather, if she were the nominee, the hope would be that they get a conviction of Trump on the J6 trial, the D.C. trial, and that enough swing voters, independent voters go, ooh, I can't vote for someone who's a convicted felon, and that's it. And it doesn't matter. You could have, you know, a sack of potatoes as the nominee. You could have, you know, a bump on a log, a rusty nail. Doesn't matter. They will vote for anyone who is not Trump. So the person doesn't really matter. By the way, if I'm wrong on all of this and it ends up actually being Michelle Obama who is the nominee, can we delete all this from the podcast at least?
You should probably know that I've already instructed Jewish producer Chris to record all these. It's already been recorded. It's been archived. On the day that you are wrong, Buck, because you will be wrong, I might just run that run the recording of this on a 3-hour loop that night. It might just do a replay show just so America can hear you being as wrong as you currently are. But setting that aside, again, we're speaking with Buck Sexton. I don't exactly have to introduce him to anyone in America. He has the biggest radio show in the country, Clay and Buck. Buck, set politics aside for a minute. Don't you find it hard, and you and I talk about this stuff privately, but don't you find it difficult to process the amount of destruction these people have done in just a few years? I mean, Democrat presidencies are always bad. I mean, Republican ones generally suck too, but they're not near this bad. A wide open border, Buck, 8 million people. And if he did nothing else, that alone is so devastating to the country. I get depressed about it sometimes. I'll be honest. I get down about it.
Well, look, the problem we have with the border is worse than people realize because our own side is bad on this too.
Yeah.
And that's where things, you know, the good news is, I could start with a little good news for everybody. The average standard elected Republican does not want your 12-year-old reading pornography in school and thinking that he is a she or she is a he. I mean, there are some, you know, your average standard Republican doesn't want to take away your guns and, you know, move us toward, you know, an authoritarian COVID-style tyranny. Okay. On immigration, though, they get really squirrely. On immigration, all of a sudden, a lot of elected Republicans cannot be trusted because they want to keep the donor class happy. They want to keep the, you know, economic growth. Yeah. If you have more people in the country, you have more people doing stuff. But is it a net positive or a net negative based on the expense of having them? They don't get into those details. So they talk tough on the border. The Democrats, though, so you know, I just wanted to establish first, that's why you had Langford and these people like, oh, look what we're going to do for the border. And for Mitch McConnell, he is maniacally devoted toward a open checkbook for Ukraine. I mean, I've talked to people who know folks on Mitch's, you know, staff and in his orbit, and they're like, no, you don't understand. For him, this is a repeat of Reagan staring down the Soviet Union. And I'm like, the problem with that is, one, it's not Reagan, and two, it's not the Soviet Union. Like, what are we even talking about here? But everything was secondary for Mitch to get some money for Ukraine. And so when you look at the border separately from all that, which always should have been the case, it's rather straightforward. You have to stop all asylum claims. You have to shut it down. It has to just no more. The whole system has been absolutely abused. These people are lying who are coming into the country, claiming credible fear when they have no credible fear. They're skipping ahead of all the legal immigrants that are trying to go through the process. It is horrific what it is doing to city budgets in places like New York and Chicago. Although I know, you know, people that are asked for this in a sense because of who they vote for. But, you know, there are, people forget, there are Republicans in California. There are Republicans in New York. They're trying to hold the line against the madness. So the immigration issue is so complicated and problematic for us because we can't trust our own side. But it's going to be, and this is why, look, I think Trump is going to win, okay? I think Trump is going to have the most unbelievable political comeback, and the whole thing is just mind-blowing. But so my other moment here of happiness for everybody is I do think Trump is going to beat all this, but he's still going to have a huge problem because you have 8 million. You're going to have 8 million by the time Trump would be president. Illegals added to the – what do you think the number is, by the way, Jesse? I mean, I've heard smart estimates. I know the census figure. I've known this for years, like 11.8 million. That's insane. It's at least 20 million. It might be 30 million.
I've heard 30 several times from people I trust, but that's the problem. Nobody really knows because they're, as the communists love to call them, undocumented, right? That's that they're not checking in down at the DMV. The number I hear is 30. How do you even begin that? Where do you begin? That's brutal.
Oh, that's the issue then. And I was just asked this by a friend of mine. He said, even if Trump were to go all out with he's told me, I mean, he's been on my show. He said he's going to deport people. We had Stephen Miller on recently, said Trump is absolutely serious about ramping up deportations to a level that we won't have seen, I don't know, since the, remember the Eisenhower effort. I think Eisenhower back in the 50s deported over a million people, which was a huge number for then, right? You had far fewer illegals in the country. But if you had Trump even were to get to, let's say, a million deportations a year for 4 years, I mean, that's just, yeah, that's considerable, but you still would have millions and millions of illegal immigrants still in, or, you know, illegal aliens still in the country. But the only way to stop this is the problem, Jesse. The only way to stop the magnet, you know, the only way to change the incentives is to at least do a few million deportations. Because otherwise, everyone just goes, if I get there, 9 out of 10 chance I get to stay. They're gonna roll the dice on it. They're gonna show up and they're gonna say, you know, where's my free stuff? So you have to change that incentive structure. The deportations are a part of that. What happens then with the millions? You know, are we going to, you know, what do we do if we can't bureaucratically get it all ready to go so we can actually, I don't have the answer because the Republicans aren't, you're going to have Republicans, you're going to have Republican judges you can't trust on this, Republican senators you can't trust on this. We haven't even figured out, everyone who really wants to know how messed up this is, and I could talk about how messed up the immigration, but it's messed up because they refuse to enforce the law. Everyone needs this thing about we need new laws. That's garbage. It's just all bad faith execution. It's all nullification of what's already in place. I mean, here's one for you, Jesse, for your audience. Everybody who is coming into this country who is saying, I want asylum, and this is the whole game that they play, that transit through Mexico, they're not eligible for asylum under our own rules because they didn't, unless they tried to get asylum in Mexico first, which almost none of them did. So we're just ignoring all of this as we go through. And I think that people are seeing that the border is the worst it's ever been. But even if you have people waking up to that fact, how to fix this, it would take 8 years of an incredible president with incredible focus to get this thing to a place where you could say it is truly under control.
Golly. He is.
Sorry,
Buck
that,
Sexton.
That's a little depressing.
No, we needed that dose of reality. Obviously, you know where to find Buck on the Clay and Buck Show. Buck, my brother, I appreciate you very much.
Already? I got my cool song, and now you're done with me? All right. We miss you, Jesse. We'll talk to you soon.
I'll see you soon, buddy. All right. We have so much more. Hang on. It is the Jesse Kelly Show, final segment this hour of the Jesse Kelly Show. We still have more than an hour left. Going to talk about Republicans and getting outspent, outraised by Democrats. This FAA stuff, my buddy Matt Walsh broke. There's all kinds of stuff we have to get to before I get to any other things, including emails. Remember, tomorrow is an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. All 3 hours. Ask me anything, but you have to get your questions emailed in now. They're stacking up already. Jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Doesn't have to be political. Ask whatever you want. I'll bring this up really quickly because I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it because I don't like bringing up things that they're difficult to solve. The debt crisis in this country is really, really, really bad. There's a new report out today. Well, the CBO did a report, Congressional Budget Office. And the Peterson Foundation, it's Peter G. Peterson Foundation, doesn't matter who it is, but they did a study on it. And I'm just going to drop a couple big ones from you here. Over the next 10 years, we're on track to borrow more than $20 trillion. Structural factors include the aging population, rising healthcare costs, interest rates, tax system that doesn't fund the promises we've made. Interest costs have more than doubled in just the past 3 years, rising to more than $2 billion per day this year. That's just the interest. And by next year, we'll spend more on interest than on defense and nearly all other national priorities. CBO projects that the annual interest payments will total $1.6 trillion a decade from now, and will continue to grow from there. Final quote on this one. It's especially concerning that the Social Security Trust Fund will be depleted within a 10-year window. Now, I know that's a bit dark. That's a lot to take in, but this is, it was more to explain myself than anything else. I know that whenever there's a bill of any kind that comes out, people's heartstrings get tugged at and they want to support it. They want to say, I want to give money here and I want to give money there and I want to give money here. I'm really passionate about this. Hey, the federal government should send money to Hawaii. This federal government should send money to East Palestine. The federal government should give out stimmy checks. The federal government should send money to Israel. The federal government should send money to Ukraine. My answer is always, what money? We don't have money. There's no money to send. They've spent it all. They've spent everything we have now. They've spent everything we're going to have next year and the year after that and the year after that. A fiscal crisis, a debt crisis, is not something that will just be felt by the government. It will be felt by every single American, and it will be felt in a way that you will watch your standard of living disappear. When I freak out about these bills, it's not because I don't want money for this person or money for that person or money here or money for you or money for me. I love money. I mean, I'm not obsessed with it. I'm not Chris, but I like money just fine. I want you to have all the money in the world. We don't have any as a country. None. Did you get what they were saying? Next year, the interest on our debt will cost more than the entire national defense budget. These people are destroying us. And it's Republicans and Democrats. It is. Every Republican president gets in there and spends trillions. And then the next Democrat spends trillions. And then the next Republican spends trillions. Even now, as we speak, as you're hearing the sound of my voice, Republicans and Democrats are coming together to send billions and billions and billions of dollars to Ukraine and Israel and Taiwan as if there's this big pot of gold where we can just scoop a bucket of gold coins out and hand them out to people. The vault is empty. We are borrowing money from China, from ourselves, which is even doubly insane. We're borrowing money for every dime of this. You can scream at me all you want about how important whatever this cause is to you. No, Jesse, but this is, no, I will probably agree with you. Yep, that's an important cause. There's no money. I've told you before, I want a brand new fleet. Our Navy is old, way too old. We need modern ships. We don't have money for them. It's not there. You can't wish it there. What's that saying my old man used to tell me? Wish in one hand, poop in the other, and see which one fills up first. And believe me, I gave you the nice version of it. That's where we are, all right? All right. Now let's talk about the FAA and air travel. Let's first talk about getting some relief from pain, though. Relief from pain. Having constant aches and pains is just part of getting older. And if you're 15 listening to the sound of my voice right now, don't roll your eyes. It's coming for you too. Eventually, your back hurts a lot. Your neck, your feet, your hands. I'm bothered by how often now, if I grip something too long or something, my hands will get sore. I take Relief Factor because it's natural. It's drug-free. It's totally natural. And it helps my body fight inflammation naturally. So I'm not liquefying my liver by taking ibuprofen 10 times a day. Take a 3-week quick start kit and tell me how you feel. $19.95 is all it costs. Go to relieffactor.com or call them 1-800-4-RELIEF. You don't have to live with pain every day. You really don't. There's a natural way to fix it. All right. The FAA, air travel. Uh-oh. Hang on.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Whatever team Fee is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. 3 times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an iHeart podcast.